Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live, great big Wednesday show. And it is going to be a good one because we have an excellent guest second hour. Trent Horn will be here to discuss why are you pro-choice. We ask you the question. If you're a pro-choice person, you can call and tell us your reason. We love talking about it with you. And first hour, we have a very special guest, Trent Horn, here to talk about why are you pro-choice. And if you are a pro-choice person, we don't try to trick anybody or anything. We are pro-life people. Well, let me check in with Trent. Let me see how – are you still pro-life person?
I still believe all human beings have a right to life and that abortion should be illegal because it violates an unborn child's right to life. But I am open to speaking with people who disagree about that. And that's the point of this show. If you think abortion should be legal in any capacity, I would enjoy hearing from you.
And the number to call is 888-318-7884. We do try to be polite and solicitous and friendly, and even if we can, we try to be as charitable as we can. We really want you to feel that you are welcome to call. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH if you prefer the spelled version. Trent, by the way, is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, a speaker, and you can find his debates online where he debates people. He's also the author of many fine books. A couple not so good, but I won't name those. But the fine books include Why We're Catholic, Persuasive Pro-Life, Answering Atheism. The most recent, or I guess most recent, because it just literally got delivered yesterday.
You could say it just was delivered yesterday.
Got delivered?
No, you don't need the adjective literally. There's nothing possibly symbolic about that. It was delivered yesterday.
Oh, well, I wasn't born yesterday. So... Mm-hmm.
So you would know that.
Yesterday is used figuratively sometimes, Trent.
It can be, but...
So literally yesterday.
Okay.
Not figuratively yesterday. Not like just yesterday this happened. No, like this truly, we got 1,000... How many? Actually, I don't know how many copies. Thousands of copies of your brand new book.
I think 1,000 were just shipped out.
Or were just shipped out,
right? Yeah, and then I think another 1,000 will be on their way. We've already had a lot of them pre-ordered.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy with this book. I really enjoy working with Layla Miller on it, as she brought a lot of great practical experience and wisdom from her time raising children and defending the faith online. So we cover a lot of important moral issues, including the issue of abortion and how to explain that to young children, older children, and just what the church teaches on this issue and others that relate to the pro-life issue as well, like assisted reproductive technologies, IVF, and things like that.
The book is called Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. And Made This Way suggests to me a creator, that is, I was made, and that I have a particular nature that has to be respected. God, the creator, made me, and I have to be attentive to how he made me and for the purposes that he made me for.
Yeah, when we look at our human nature, we look at our bodies, we look at the way humans should interact with one another, we can see there are ways that human beings ought to be treated, there are ways we ought to use our bodies, and we can know that from reason and also from divine revelation. So we talk about this in the book to understand that, you know, as you raise children, you form them, you know, they're like... you don't form them in the sense like they're lumps of clay that you just mold, but you provide them with experiences that they learn from. But also the way we form children, we have to understand, is we don't provide all their experiences. The world throws all kinds of different things at them. What we do provide them is our reaction or our commentary on things that they are exposed to. And a lot of parents, you know, when their children come and say, what's this? You know, why are those two men holding hands? I heard that a boy can become a girl, or well, why aren't so-and-so's parents married, or why did they get divorced? You know, a lot of parents feel like, oh, how do I explain this? Or even teachers and other people who have young children that they speak to on some basis, what do I say? And so Layla and I give practical tips for each chapter. We talk about, here is what the church teaches, here's how to explain to little kids to preserve their innocence but share the truth with them, and how to explain it to older children like high school students who might give a little bit of pushback or have their own deeper questions on the subject.
Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues by Layla Miller and Trent Horn is available now at shop.catholic.com. Today, our topic is, why are you pro-choice? If you are a pro-choice person and would like to talk with some pro-life people about why that is the case, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We are of the mind that there's not too much conversation about these difficult issues. There's too little conversation about it, and we want to have that conversation with you. Trent, lines are filling up, shall we?
Sure.
John in Dallas, listening on the EWTN app, you are up first. Why are you pro-choice?
My wife and I are pro-life, or at least I thought we were, until a couple of months ago. My wife actually carried our anencephalic baby for 20 weeks until she was born, and then she ended up dying about 20 hours later because of our pro-life position. But the other, a couple of months ago, I heard her make this comment, which really threw me for a loop. She said, well, in situations in which the mother's life is in danger, it should be the mother's decision as to whether to sacrifice her life for her baby. I don't know how to respond to that.
Sure. And John, first, let me say our condolences go out to you and your wife and your child, and we will pray for the repose of your child's soul. That's a situation that does happen to people from time to time, that their child is diagnosed with a terminal condition, and it's certainly heartbreaking. And I think it's a wonderful witness to life that you all chose to allow your child to naturally pass away from this life, whereas many people, even many doctors, would recommend abortion in that case. Now, the question your wife asks, should it be a woman's choice to sacrifice her life for her child? There's different ways that one can look at this. That it is, if a mother is faced with death, and you know, from a pregnancy, and that there's a complication, I would agree with your wife in this sense, that she should be allowed to decide if she wants to do something heroic or something above and beyond the call of duty. The example that comes to my mind would be St. Gianamola, for example, who chose to do something heroic to continue a pregnancy so that her child could live, even though it ended up taking her own life. Now, just because you have one option that's a heroic option, it doesn't follow that the only other choice is one that's intrinsically evil. In fact, when you have two choices and one is evil and one is good, you just have to choose the good one. It doesn't become heroic anymore. You know, you just can't do evil. But let's take, for example, there could be the case where a mother chooses to not have a medical intervention so her child will live, even though she will die. Or she may choose to have a medical intervention that does not directly kill the child, but treats whatever medical condition she has. So to take an example, let's say you had a pregnant woman who is diagnosed with a fast-acting uterine cancer, and she could morally choose to have chemotherapy to target the cancer, or even a radical hysterectomy. And here, the doctors are not intending and directly killing the child. They're fighting the cancer, and the child dies indirectly. That's in accord with a medical principle called the principle of double effect. So here, if this woman had this case, she could choose to indirectly bring about her child's death by asking the doctors to treat illicit, to illicitly treat whatever condition is threatening her life. And so that's something, if a woman's life is in danger in pregnancy, that's something that is almost always an option. Or she could, in that case, she could choose. She's not obliged to, but it would be heroic if she said, you know what, I want this baby to live. And so I'm just going to hold off on chemotherapy till this child can be born, even if the cancer can't be treated at that point. That decision to sacrifice herself so the child lives would be heroic. She wouldn't have to do that. But it would not follow that just because she can choose to not be a hero, that she can choose to directly kill the child through abortion. That is never permitted. But it is permitted, if a woman's life is in danger, for doctors to intervene, treat whatever is ailing her, whatever the pathology is, even if it indirectly brings about the child's death. So there's a great article about that by Father Tad Baholchek called When Pregnancy Goes Awry, that you may find to be helpful on this as well. So is that at least a helpful start to on that issue?
Oh, yeah, that's very helpful. Just a follow-up question. Do you think that, overturning Roe v. Wade, what do you think for example, if that were to happen, what do you think that impact would be on that situation where you're talking about the double effect?
Sure. And
where it's not direct.
Right. And we'll have to go to a break here in a second, but let me answer that quickly. If Roe versus Wade were overturned, it would restore the ability to legislate abortion back to the states. And prior to Roe versus Wade, all states had exceptions to allow abortion if a woman's life was in danger. I don't even think they required that the intervention pass the double effect test, that if a pregnancy was going to threaten a woman's life, states prior to Roe versus Wade, I think all of them had the exception that if a pregnancy threatens a woman's life, they allowed it in that case. Now, Catholic hospitals, for example, might have a different protocol where they say, well, even if your life is in danger, we still have to adhere to the principle of double effect. We wouldn't allow direct abortion. But at the state legislative level, I think the states that are poised to make abortion illegal, like South Dakota or Mississippi, outlaw abortion, and they may allow exceptions. They may even allow exceptions in cases of rape or fetal deformity. But I think what would happen is if Roe were overturned, it would go back to the states. Some automatic laws may take into place, but you would quickly have a patchwork of states where abortion is only legal in rare cases, and then states where abortion is legal until the moment of birth. And so we would still have a long road ahead of us. But this is a good question.
John, thank you very, very much for that call. Our topic today, why are you pro-choice? If you're a pro-life listener, please hold off for another day. We're all very happy to talk with you at another time. But today we want to talk with folks who are indeed pro-choice and have reasons that they would like to share with us and discuss with us. If you are a pro-choice person and would like to do that, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. Right now, you can get bulk books from Catholic Answers Live at a very much discounted price, and we'd love to get them in your hands because now more than ever, we need to get good Catholic books out there in people's hands. Maybe you want to share them with people in your parish, people at your school. Maybe you want to share them with people in your prayer group. Bulk books means books that had cost almost $17 each, can be as low as $3 to $5 a copy. Why We're Catholic, Trent's book is among them. His brand new book, Made This Way, is among them. Delivered, Restored, Persuasive Pro-Life, all of the 20 Answers titles, they're in this bulk book deal. Just go to Bulk Book Specials at shop.catholic.com. When you go to shop.catholic.com, you'll see the place, the banner that you click to get to the Bulk Book Specials. Just click it and you're on your way.
Why are you pro-choice? Call now. Trent is waiting to talk to you.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swain. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our topic today, why are you pro-choice if you're a pro-choice person? We are pro-life people, and we'd love to discuss with you why you have reasoned your way into the pro-choice position. 888-318-7884. As the Bible said, let us reason together. Tim in Tehachapi, California, you are next. Tim is listening on the EWTN app. Your question, Tim, why are you pro-choice?
Well, I have been talking to several people who are pro-choice, and they came up with the question, both lying and adultery are immoral, but they are not illegal. So what is the difference between lying and adultery and abortion and same-sex marriage?
Okay. Well, first, I'm going to bracket the question of same-sex marriage because that's a separate issue, though I will say that anyone who believes that marriage should be a legally recognized entity, a legal institution, believes in outlawing some kinds of unions people call marriage. Anyone who believes there should be marriage is going to draw defining boundaries to it. So people who believe in so-called same-sex marriage usually believe marriage should be legally defined as a union of two persons. So they believe in outlawing essentially polygamous marriages. So the idea here is, well, why do we have laws? Well, we need laws to have a stable society, to promote the common good so we can live together and flourish as human beings, and that we're not living in some kind of savage, the Lord of the Flies, you know, situation where we're all here on this island of humanity at each other's throats all the time. We want sensible laws so we can live together. And when we wrong one another, we can have repercussions, and that the laws instill a moral sense in us to know what's right and wrong. And you're right. Not everything is illegal. There are things that are wrong that are immoral, but are not illegal. So, you know, telling a white lie or breaking a promise to a friend. Not all lies are illegal. Some lies are illegal. You know, if you commit fraud, if you lie to someone about a business venture and defraud that person, lies that are tantamount to fraud or defamation or slander, those are illegal, and you can get in trouble, civil or criminal penalties. When it comes to adultery is still illegal in some states. Not everywhere, because the idea of enforcing laws against adultery might cause more harm than good and invading people's privacy. But sometimes laws against adultery are helpful when it comes to settling matters related to divorce, about who's at fault if someone commits adultery in a relationship. And the idea of strengthening marriage is good for society. So to answer your question, Tim, we make something illegal when the sin becomes serious enough to cause serious harm to other people. So not all lies are illegal, just those lies that cause demonstrable harm, like fraud or slander or defamation. Not all sexual sins are illegal. Lust, obviously, is not illegal. It'd be hard to prosecute a thought crime. But, you know, rape, for example, obviously should be illegal. So when it comes to abortion, we would just have to ask, well, what kind of sin is this? What makes abortion a sin? And I'd say it's a sin because it is an attack on human life. It is the unjust killing of a human being. Now, that's probably the most serious thing you can do. So why wouldn't that be illegal? That abortion, the sin of abortion, is not like the sin of breaking a promise or the sin of having lustful thoughts. It's more like the sin of serious fraud that causes severe harm, or like the sin of rape. It is a attack on an innocent human being that deprives them of the most important right they have, the right to life. And so the law should protect human beings at this fundamental level. That's how I would look at it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you. I had been reading material from another Catholic who was using that as an argument in favor of pro-choice.
I see. I would recommend when you come across arguments like this, especially if you're in a conversation with someone, to ask them, okay, what's your standard? Which sins should be illegal? Which sins should be illegal? Give me an example. And I'm sure, you know, murder, rape, theft, fraud. There's lots of different examples that people could come up with, even things like harassment. And you have to ask, well, what do they all have in common? They're all attacks upon another human person. Is abortion an attack on a human person? I think the evidence is very clear that it is. And so it would fall under that category as well. If you like more information on that, in Chapter 12 of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, I answer the arguments from people who identify as being Christian or Catholic who think abortion should be legal. You might find that helpful. It's Chapter 12 of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life.
Tim, thank you very, very much for that call and for sharing with us your question. And I want to speak to the caller. If you have, if you're a pro-choice person and you'd like to share with us why you're pro-choice, and if you can speak better than I am currently doing, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're going out to Marcos in Denver, watching on YouTube. Marcos, thanks very much for watching. Your question, why are you pro-choice?
Hello, everybody. I'm pro-choice because it comes down to consent of how someone wants to have their or allows their body to be used by another person. For example, that's the difference between sex and rape. You have to give consent on how your body is being used, and that seems to be the crux of the issue for me at this point.
Okay, I guess, Marcos, I want to know, what do you mean by consent? Because, and this is an argument that I've heard before, Eileen McDonough famously made this point in her book, Abortion Breaking the Deadlock. What do you mean by consent? Because my understanding is that pregnancy is not something you can consent to. It's like getting a sexually transmitted disease. No matter what you consent or don't consent, you either have it or you don't. Pregnancy is something that happens to you after an activity you should consent to, like sex. So if you consent to sexual activity, it seems to me that you're responsible for the consequences of that activity, which are naturally ordered towards creating a helpless human being. So wouldn't you have a duty to care for that child whose existence you're responsible for?
You went to a second point before I could address your first one. So to your first question, mm-hmm. We all consent to activities that have outcomes that we don't consent to the outcomes for, such as rock climbing. You can rock climb and fall and break your arm, but you don't consent to breaking your arm because you take the responsibility of trying to fix your broken arm by going to the hospital and not having it continue to be broken. Mm-hmm. The woman consenting to sex isn't consenting to the pregnancy because that's another person violating her body's use because she has to consent to that pregnancy. Again, it goes back to the example of consensual sex versus rape. She's allowing somebody to use her body consensually. Once she removes that consent, it is a violation to her body.
So you're saying that a woman can... a man and woman can cause someone to come into existence that they know is dependent on a person's body and then later kill that person because they don't want to provide for that child anymore.
If the child is using her body against her will, then she is being violated. That is that is how we differentiate between a consensual use and a non-consensual use.
Okay.
Just like in sex, you can consent at the beginning of sex, but halfway through, if she withdraws consent, you are now raping her.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Marcos, let's say I invite you to come onto a fishing boat with me, and we go on a tour around the harbor, and it's my boat, you know? So my boat, and I can decide who is on my boat and who's not on my boat. Like if you were on the dock and you said, hey, can I go on a fishing trip with you? And I said, well, no, I'm going to go out by myself. I'm firmly within my right to do that. But would I have the right to invite you to come on my boat and we go out on the ocean and then kick you overboard and you die? Would I have the right to do that?
I'm not violating your body in that scenario. So could you give me a scenario that's equal to that scenario?
Well, just answer my question here. You're violating my right to my property, my boat.
Scenario.
But,
no, because it's a different scenario. I'm not violating your body, am I, in that scenario?
Why does that difference matter?
Because nuance matters. That's why that example doesn't work for me, because it doesn't address the nuance of bodily violation. Give me an example of bodily violation.
Okay, I'll give you another example. Are you familiar with Thompson's... I will give you another example, but let me ask one follow-up question. It seems like why does a person have a right to not let other people use their body?
Okay, I don't really think that's a serious question.
I'm just asking the question. If it's not serious, you can just give me a simple answer.
Okay, the simple answer is I think that's self-evident. And to your audience, okay. I don't think your audience is that unintelligent.
Okay, well, let me propose an answer. You can tell me if it's wrong. It seems you're saying a person has a right to use their body, to not let other people use their body, because they own their body, and because they own it, they have the right to decide who can use it or not use it.
Okay, I can go along with that.
Okay, so if I own my boat, I can decide who's on it or not on it, so I'm going to return to that. Can I push you off or not?
No.
I can't.
Because
we're
going back to I'm not using your body, but I am using your boat, and the nuances there are different.
But you haven't given me a moral... You're saying it's different, but you're not saying why the difference matters.
Because using somebody's property is different from using their body, and we understand that difference. At least most normal people understand that difference.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to have to go to the break here. Maybe we can wrap this up a little bit afterwards.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We're inviting calls from those who identify themselves as pro-choice. If you believe that abortion should be legal, whether all the time or some of the time, in some circumstances, in all circumstances, you are our target caller today. And we'd love to converse with you about why you believe that. We are pro-life people, but we'd love to talk with you. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture's moral center continues to fly apart and with every form of deviance publicly aired and celebrated, we have no choice but to equip our kids to understand about such issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. Silence can no longer be an option. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging on to the shop at Catholic.com.
How do you use the Catechism of the Catholic Church?
Many times we are confused about certain doctrines.
Let's talk about using the Catechism to find the proper answers on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now let's return to Cy Kellett and Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest both hours today. We're talking to folks who identify themselves as pro-choice people in our society. That means essentially that you believe abortion should be legal at least some of the time. And if you find yourself one of those people, give us a call if you'd like to discuss your reasons. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. When we were with our caller left us, who was on before, but you wanted to wrap that up?
That's fine. And he's perfectly within his rights to terminate this phone call because you consent to being in a phone call and a conversation and doesn't cause harm for him to leave the conversation. So before the break, Marcos from Denver was making the argument that abortion and pregnancy are a matter of consent. The idea here is that a woman can consent. You and I, like I can consent for someone not to use my body. Shouldn't a woman be able to consent to do the same thing? And I used an example, a non-medical example, saying, look, if I consent to let Cy Kellett, you and I go out on San Diego Harbor.
Am I going to end up dead at the end of this?
How good of a swimmer are you? That'll answer the question.
I'm so tired of you killing me every time we do the show.
Well, I haven't killed you. If I don't consent to you being in the boat anymore, I can kick you out. Mm. Now, Marcos, we could have addressed more, but unfortunately he's left us, said, no, I want an example involving the body. If we looked at organ donation, for example, I'm sorry, I'd do this to you again. So let's say they rescue you from the harbor. Well, the doctors found out that you have you need bone marrow. Mm-hmm. And so if I consent to give you bone marrow to save your life, I could actually stop halfway through that and say, sorry, you're a great guy, Cy, but it's just too much work for me. Bone marrow extraction is very painful. I'm going to decline. If I do that, as sad as it may be, I have not killed you. I have failed to save you.
Yeah.
And so I can consent to not give you my body in that regard. But pregnancy is not like that. Pregnancy would be more like I consent to give you my kidney and you have my kidney and then I take it back from you and put it back in my body and I kill you in the process. So if you engage in an activity that causes a vulnerable human being to come into existence and requires your body, you have obligations to sustain that child using your body as it's naturally designed. I might not be required, a woman may not be required to fillet her skin to feed a starving toddler, but certainly if she has a starving newborn and the only way she can feed the child is by breastfeeding, you wouldn't say, well, if she wants to, sure, but that child has no right to use her body. The child most certainly does, has the right to that which naturally sustains him. If that's true for the newborn, it's true for the preborn or unborn child as well. So that's just to finish up the conversation we were having with Marcos. He left us before the break. But we'll see if other people bring up those same points later.
And Marcos, thank you for your call. Our number, 888-318-7884. If you are a pro-choice person, I do not know why it's so hard for me to say pro-choice today. I just can't get it out. But if you're a pro-choice person and you would like to discuss your reasons for being pro-choice with Trent Horn, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We go now to Joey in New Braunfels, Texas, listening on 89.7 FM. Joey, why are you pro-choice?
Hey, how's it going? I think in this discussion I'm listening to, and I jumped in kind of late into the discussion, so I'm assuming this is regarding the whole Roe versus Wade reversal. And I think the real question here is there a difference between legality and morality? And morally, I don't think any of us are okay with abortion, and it seems like it wouldn't be great. But I'm sure you guys have heard this comparison before, but, if I was on a diet, I wouldn't tell someone else they can't eat donuts because of my diet. So my beliefs are my beliefs, and I don't think that my beliefs should be pushed on others through the state. And I would hope your listeners and you guys as well can really understand what I mean by that, because of the fact that just because I find something wrong, I mean, war, we accept war for what it is, the good and the bad, and people don't rally behind stop sending people to war because they kill, but people just accept it for what it is. And I think with abortion, it comes down to the same thing, is just because I find it morally wrong does not mean I have the place to tell others that the government can enforce my beliefs on them.
All right. Well, let me, Joey, address both of your points, and then maybe we can have a little back and forth. First, when it comes to war, I think it's perfectly within people's rights to protest and make their voices heard that a government that they belong to should not engage in a war that they believe to be unjust, or even one that's just not practical, that is causing harm and has very little, if any, benefit. If someone believes a war is unjust, I think they have a moral obligation to protest and do what is feasible, what is possible for them. I mean, who knows? If they live in a totalitarian dictatorship, it may not be prudent for them to protest an unjust war, because all that will happen is they will end up getting killed and there will be no positive benefit to it. But if someone believes that a war is unjust, let's say in the United States, I think they would have a moral obligation to make that known, especially if the war is, for example, directly targeting innocent civilians, like children, for example. To bring your other point with donuts, I would agree with you that, you know, if I'm not a big fan of maple bars, for example. I don't particularly care for them, but I'm not going to outlaw maple bars for everybody. You like them, that's fine. But let's say there was a donut that tastes really, really good for adults, you know, just amazing, the creme de la creme donut. But it turns out this donut kills 20% of children who eat it. And some parents still feed their kids this donut, and there's lots of kids who are dying from this donut. Well, do you think maybe we should make it illegal for those parents to give their kids this lethal donut? What do you think of that argument?
Oh, the donut, yes, I would completely agree. If you had a donut that killed 20% of the kids.
Sure. And then to extend the argument, then, if you have a medical procedure that kills 100% of children who are involved, maybe we should make that illegal. And that would extend the argument completely to abortion. See where I'm going?
I see where you're going with it. That's why I figured you were going with it. I feel like even with the last gentleman that was talking, when you tried making the point about the boat, mm-hmm. there's a level of logic that's got to be brought into this conversation that when you're trying to make a point, you can kind of ignore and push to the side. Mm-hmm. But we as humans, we do have logic and we're capable of using it. And there is a huge difference between, getting pregnant and saying, well, I don't want a baby, and taking someone out on a boat and then saying, hey, I don't want you on the boat. I think realistically, at the end of the day, you can see that difference and you acknowledge it. For the fact of debate, I could see why you wouldn't. But
Joey, let's talk about it, because Marcos didn't want to. He just said, well, you're unintelligent if you don't see that. I see there is a difference there. I'll agree with you. There is a difference in that in pregnancy, anything involving the body is going to have more of an intimate interaction. It'll have more immediate physical burdens. But at the same time, I could change my boat example up to show that, you know, we consider pregnancy, like if I spend 2 hours on in a harbor with Cy Kellett, the burdens that I'm sorry, Cy, I have to do this again. If I spend 2 hours out in the harbor with Cy, and San Diego is a pleasant place anyways, I haven't incurred that much of a burden to let you be on my boat. Whereas in pregnancy, I'll agree with you, there are higher burdens. A woman gains weight, experiences nausea, pain, swelling, there are lots of other things that in pregnancy you feel more of a physical burden. But I could change the example. Let's say we're cruising the harbor and we end up out at sea because of a storm, and it's Cy and I on a boat with limited supplies. And I'm really hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm really suffering here. And I think odds are I'll be rescued. At least I have a greater chance of being rescued if I just push Cy overboard and I keep the supplies for myself. Now, in that case, I think you would agree, even if I'm like at the point of like dying, I'm in a really desperate situation. Do you think I should kill Cy?
Oh, man, you're crazy if you don't push Cy overboard in that case.
Really?
I would completely. Yeah, if it comes down to my life on a boat with supplies for one person, I think that would kind of be a easy answer for myself. And
I will tell you this: there was a R versus Dudley and Stevens is a British criminal case dealing with this. This is it. So it says that here's what's really weird about this case. Dudley and Stevens were shipwrecked with two other men, and one of them was a cabin boy named Richard Parker who fell into a coma, and they were worried they were going to starve to death. So Dudley and Stevens killed Parker to eat him, and later they were rescued, but the British courts actually found them guilty of murder, and their attorneys, their legal counsel, put forward an argument. It was an argument of defense based on necessity, and the court ruled that necessity is not a defense for murder, actually. That is still wrong. And I think most people, if you really do think about it, it is wrong to murder someone, even if you need to do that to save your life. Now, it's different killing someone who's trying to kill you, like in self-defense, that's one thing. But just murdering somebody so that you have a greater chance of living, even the courts have seen that that's wrong. Oh, and a crazy coincidence here. Edgar Allan Poe wrote a similar story before this, Cy, about people who were shipwrecked and they ate the cabin boy. Guess who the cabin boy's name was in the Poe story?
What?
Richard Parker.
Oh, weird.
The same name. So it's... But in any case...
What's up with Edgar Allan Poe? That guy.
That's a good bumper sticker.
That's actually creepy.
Right? So Joey, just to bring it all back, I'm not trying to be flippant about the differences here, but I do think that when we sit down and we do think about it morally, the differences are not big enough. They're not morally relevant enough to justify that even while pregnancy is more intimately involved in the body and people incur greater burdens when they're pregnant, that does not justify directly killing another human being in order to not have to endure those burdens. And also, I would say that most abortions are not motivated by the desire to not be pregnant. That's another point that a lot of people fail to miss, and that changes the morality of the issue a little bit. Because I would say 9 out of 10, at least 90% of pregnant women who go into an abortion provider, imagine it's 50 or 100 years from now, and the abortionist says, okay, we got two abortion procedures. Both of them will make you not pregnant anymore. But procedure A causes the child to die. Procedure B puts him into an artificial womb and you can have him back in 9 months. I think most people who want abortion, they don't want the child to return into their life in another 9 months. The reason they want an abortion is because they don't want to ever be a parent. They don't want to have this child be around. And so I think that makes it very, very different than if I choose to not give my bone marrow to Cy, if I choose to not let Cy use my body and he's dying. I know, I did it again. If I choose to not give you my bone marrow, Cy, and you live, you miraculously recover from your cancer, I would celebrate.
But you'd never be on this show again.
I know. It might be awkward between us a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'd still be happy. I would be happy. I would much prefer you to be alive and mad at me than dead and gone.
Thank you.
Because I care for you, Cy. No matter how many thought experiments you meet your demise in. However, but if I, saying I don't want to give, I take an action that kills you with that intent, it's very, very different. And I think abortion falls into that category. So Joy, I hope that's a helpful summary. And I cover that a little bit more in chapter 8 of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. I should write a short book of philosophy called the Many Fatal Ends of Cy Kellett to illustrate these philosophical examples.
Yeah, but it's remarkable to me how many times, though, like without joking, all joking aside, people, like when you put me in that situation, and I know it's playful that you use me, but they actually choose, no, I would kill him in that situation. Like there seems to be a kind of, I don't know, maybe lack of awareness that you're not supposed to kill people. Like, or well, what is it? Has life been cheapened that much? I mean, I could take it personally, but I don't.
I think that for a lot of people, if you view the ultimate good as this life and the pleasure you have and the happiness you have in this life, then it's easy for you to justify doing all kinds of terrible things if the alternative is sacrificing what you think is the ultimate good in this life, which is this existence. So, however, but for us, we know through our faith, we know that this life is not the end. The death is not the end.
Yes,
it is the beginning. And so we can have confidence to know that as St. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, oh, death, where is thy sting?
Mm-hmm.
Death is still sad. It's still something to mourn, to leave this world and the relationships we have with our loved ones. St. Paul himself said, I would rather depart and be with Christ, but I remain in the flesh for your benefit. So death is something that's sad, but it is not some kind of ultimate end. It is something as Christians we have a proper perspective on that allows us to live life in a very glorious and a victorious way that many people who are merely of the world can't comprehend.
Again, 888-318-7884, our number. Joey, thank you so much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH is the spelling way to say it. If you're a pro-choice person and you'd like to discuss with us why you are pro-choice, please give us a call at that number, 888-318-7884. And if you enjoy Trent's conversation, you will definitely enjoy a podcast called The Council of Trent, which you can find at TrentHornPodcast.com, TrentHornPodcast.com. You had one on there recently, and I'm forgetting what it was. It was a fascinating one.
Was it the free-for-all Friday?
The transgender study. Yeah, say something about that.
Right. So there was a study published at Brown University, and Brown distanced itself from the university after criticism of it because the study was talking about how older teens sometimes adopt transgender identities rapidly in their teens, not when they were very young children. It just rapidly happens and is connected to their peers or even on social media seeing others adopt transgender identity, which is dangerous, of course, because if someone adopts this as kind of like a fad. So like there's even a name for it within the transgender community for people who say they are transgender but do so more to just adopt the identity because it seems hip. They call them trans trenders.
You're a
trans trender for people who are just adopting this kind of to be hip. And so, you know, if you have a teen who adopts this identity, I mean, anyone who adopts this identity is not well served by mutilating bodily surgeries or hormone replacement therapies. But to see this, that someone, you know, could be brought along a self-destructive path, it really does call that into question. And so people criticize the study, and I walk through it in similar studies. But I cover a lot on the Council of Trent podcast, theology, apologetics. I just did an interview with Patrick Coffin on contraception. That will be up next week, right? Who is that guy? talking about my debates, how to defend the faith in debates. That one just went up recently. You know, how do you do that? How do you engage in a public debate? What are kind of the tips for doing that? And then on Fridays, I do all kinds of free-for-all topics. It's kind of the palate cleanser at the end of the week. So last Friday, I talked about how plane crashes in the 1970s developed psychological techniques to make us all safer everywhere, called crew resource management. This Friday, I think I'm going to record a show about how to survive a trip to the quote-unquote happiest place on Earth.
how to
go to Disneyland and not wait more than 15 minutes in line. So, you know, so if you're interested in that and many other great subjects, primarily how to explain and defend the faith, but a few fun ones along the way, you can check that out at TrentHornPodcast.com.
TrentHornPodcast.com.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
You know what Catholic Radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic Radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice? If you're a pro-choice person, we'd love it if you'd call and talk with us about why you are pro-choice. We have with us both hours today Trent Horn, who's an apologist here at Catholic Answers, but is also the author of probably the most pertinent book of his to mention today is a book called Persuasive Pro-Life. He's got a brand new book. This is for parents and teachers of younger people, Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. And he's got a whole bunch more. Trent, lots and lots of calls. Shall we return to the phone lines?
Let us return.
Okay. Keith in Harrisburg, why are you pro-choice?
Well, I believe over, you know, I'm 60 years old, but I believe over my lifetime I've been, you know, I go back and forth. But, you know, I don't see it as a fine line. I see it as a situation-by-situation basis. Mm. Just so you know where I'm coming from, I'm a Protestant. I'm a military veteran. I signed up to do that. I believe in law enforcement. I'm a conservative Republican. A reason I just caught part of your show, and the reason I was calling in was because I had some comments on that boat issue, but I recently lost a relative, a cousin, to a drug overdose, and it could be that he had taken his own life. I'm not sure, but
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, he's a real close cousin, and the issue that I have is it seemed like he struggled with his addiction, and his family, kind of distanced themselves. They put it to him like this, unless you're off drugs, kind of stay away. And I kind of think that drove him recently to his situation. And I do believe I believe in the death penalty.
Okay.
And rather than incarceration for certain offenses.
So Keith, let's tie this all together. When do you think abortion, like one example where it's definitely okay, and maybe one example where it's definitely not okay?
I guess I'm on the fence. If there was sexual abuse, I know it's a woman's right, to request an abortion. I think that's kind of like the borderline thing. If there's health issues involved with the woman, I agree, that abortion should be an option, So I kind of straddle the fence on either side, depending on the situation, but I do have kind of strong feelings about certain situations.
Sure. And Keith, I think that's actually a very common view that you have. I think most people are not either in favor of all abortions or opposed to all abortions. In fact, if you look at Gallup surveys, for example, about 25% of Americans think abortion should always be legal, 25% think it should always be illegal, and 50%, about half, are in the middle. They think it should be sometimes legal. And so for me, I like to ask those people, well, why should it be legal sometimes? I guess for me, why is it okay, Keith, for a woman to end a pregnancy and the child dies because of rape, for example, versus she just feels like, she doesn't want to have to drop out of school or something? Because I don't think you'd be in favor of abortion just, because I want to finish school or something like that. What is the difference between that case and the one where sexual abuse is involved? Because the child would be the same in either case. It's still the same child.
Right, correct. Yeah. However, I do believe in education, So, I mean, there's only so far that kind of education can go, and you still have the same issues,
Sure, but we don't kill people in order to make sure we can get an education, especially if it's a little baby. Yeah.
No, I don't believe in that. Don't believe in that.
Right. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was going to say, in case, after it's all said and done, the problem is who do you point the finger at, when that situation happens? And a lot of times I look at the families. Sometimes the families,
in what
teaching by the parents.
In what situation are you talking about, just getting an abortion or the one with rape?
Let's call it an unplanned pregnancy.
Yeah.
In the case of, and the woman wants an abortion to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're...
So, yeah, I'm just trying...
I don't believe in that.
Okay, so, and I think you and I you don't believe in that. We wouldn't support it because, the price for that education is far too high. I mean, it's still far too high in general. That's a different subject. That you're ending a child's life. And so the question is, when is it okay to cause a baby to die? And I would actually say it's never okay. The only times where it could be okay is if a woman's life is in danger and a doctor intervenes and the child dies unintentionally. But even let's take the case of rape, for example. You mentioned earlier about pointing fingers. I look at it this way. I would never, ever, ever point the finger at the woman who's a victim of rape. Never her fault. Always the fault of the person who violated her. We could never blame her for what happened. I mean, there's some countries where, you know, women are killed through honor killings because they are pregnant through rape. And that's just barbaric. But at the same time, if we think it's wrong or barbaric to punish or kill a woman who is pregnant through rape, and in this country, you know, you said you're in favor of the death penalty in some cases. We don't give the death penalty even to rapists. So it's like you wouldn't give the death penalty to a woman who's a victim of rape. We wouldn't give the death penalty to a rapist. Why then would we give it to the child conceived in rape? That just seems completely unfair and off the mark. Of the three people involved who should, where the death penalty could be applied, the baby seems, along with the mother, one definitely shouldn't. You know, you see where I'm going here?
The most innocent.
Yeah. You see where I'm going with that?
I understand and I agree with you.
It's hard though.
It and you know each situation has its own issue, story behind it, and it's kind of, I think, you know, people jump to conclusions a lot of times. You see news articles and they only see part of the story.
Sure. And so, Keith, I think when this happens, I think we have to understand that people's lives can be complex and difficult, but moral answers to these issues can actually be simple. We can say it is wrong to kill human beings. No matter how complex your situation is, we can always apply that simple truth to not directly kill innocent human beings and always try to find another way. And I think that we as a civilized society should always do that. And I'm grateful for your call.
Thank you very much for that call, Keith. If you are a pro-choice person, we are at this for another hour. So if you haven't gotten on the line and you'd like to share with us why you're pro-choice, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you're on the line, just stay on the line. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.